And as Kate alluded earlier, this is John's talk, so some of it I haven't seen the inside of yet either, so it's very exciting. We've already said in 8 days' time, it'll be Christmas. We'll be opening our Christmas presents. So, Kate, can you pick two volunteers to give us an introduction to that? And we're going to open a couple of presents right now. There's lots of opportunities to come and do things. Excellent, Alice and Lucy. So, Alice and Lucy, I have these two presents which are produced for us. If you can't see at the back, this is nice and big and shiny and beyond my ability to wrap. And this one, slightly damp. I don't think he used it for his gerbil's cage, but he might have done. Who's the youngest out of you two? You're quite close. So would you like to choose? Which present would you like to open? And Lucy can open the other one. It hasn't worked in any service so far. Would you have a choice?
Yeah.
Okay, you have that one. You have that
but
one.
It's chocolate.
Yes, you go first. So let's see what's inside this one, please. And what's inside the grandest, most special, most exciting, biggest? Do you want to sniff it? Do you want to see the size of the hole in it? Just a sock! It's just a sock in this beautiful, shiny box. Okay, thank you. Do you want to open yours? You can go out that one.
Chocolate.
There's more than chocolate. There's chocolate. Excellent. Let me hold that for you. Thank you. Have a look at the piece of paper. We can fling this one. A check for £1 million, as signed by John Drake. He's told me to hold carefully onto these, just in case they're legal tender. So, a simple point, but something that looked really amazing on the outside, but on the inside it was a rubbish present, wasn't it? You wouldn't want one holy sock, unless it was to match up your other holy sock pair. Whereas this looks like one of the best presents you could possibly get. Chocolate, very favourite, and £1 million check. Enough, young people, these things we used to use. Enough money to get going with all sorts of exciting things. We can share this out and more besides at the end. Thank you, have a seat, and I will give this to Kate to work out how to do that. It's a simple thought just to get us going. The gift looked poor, dirty, and scruffy. It turned out to be the best gift of all. And at Christmas time, we remember the birth of Jesus. He is God's gift to the world. He was born in a real place, a real time. We heard, we know exactly kind of when it was because of when the Roman emperors were around and that census that was happening. And Luke was this really clever historian, so he checked out with eyewitnesses. He got all the details right. So we know what was going on, and we know that he was born in a manger, something that looks a bit like this. His parents were far from home. So remember what a manger was for? What was a manger for? What was the manger for?
Feeding animals.
So it's full of food for animals, probably cow dribble dripping on it. It was disgusting. And he was laid in a manger. When Jesus was born, he did not look like much of a special gift. He was small and scruffy. But on the hills nearby, as we just had in that nativity and as we had in our reading, there were some shepherds with their sheep. An angel appeared to them to tell them that actually this baby was the best gift of all. So if you're there with your service sheets, if you have a look down at verse 10, which is there, it says, "Do not be afraid," the angel says. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lie in a manger." The angel gives two reasons why Jesus is the best gift, the best present of all. And to help us understand them, somewhere in the congregation, there are two people with strange hats. So if they could be putting them on. So somewhere in the congregation, one of them's moved from where I thought he was. In fact, possibly they've both moved. So do two people want to go? Can you see people? George, are you ready? Do you want to go and try and find someone with a hat? Someone else? Yeah, go and bring the hat. Who else is near at the back? Is that Oliver? Toby? Toby, go. Go find the other hats towards the back. Thank you very much. It's lucky Catherine wasn't wearing one of her hats, because that would have been one of the strange hats too.
Oh, I got it.
Thank you. Oh, look, we're making him struggle with one arm. Thank you very much, Master Shamot. Brilliant. So two hats. Let's first of all look at this one. Can any of you tell what sort of person would wear a hat like this? It's got some sort of words on the front. Yeah, do you know? Do you have an idea? Fireman Sam, brilliant. Very specific one, but certainly a fireman. It says fire rescue on the front of it. Fire rescue. And those people are rescuers, aren't they? They're a bit like saviors. They go into places and rescue people who are in lots of trouble. That's a clue why this baby Jesus is special. The angel said to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. I need another volunteer to open a box, please. Make sure I got the right one. Do you want to come up? Come up and open this box. Okay, so it's just taping in front. And let them go. I think it stops. It does stop. Brilliant. Really good. Thank you very much. Have a seat. So that is the title, Saviour. That's one of the ways that John booby-trapped our talk for us today. That title is Saviour. Jesus came as a saviour. He came to save us from our sins. Now, firemen, they go and rescue people. You can imagine a fiery building. Maybe you're trapped in a room and there's smoke all around. And a fireman will come in. He's got the stuff. And he'll bring you out and rescue you. You can't do anything. You're stuck and you're facing disaster. And a fireman will rescue you. Well, Jesus came as a savior in a very similar way. He came to save us from sin. Because that's the rescue we need. Now, sin is a funny word. We might not be robbers or murderers here today, but sin, as we often learn at church, is an attitude we have towards God. It's saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, I'm going to live my way, no to your commands. It's ignoring God and pushing him out of our lives. And we all do that. We want to live our own life, but we don't want anything to do with God. And it leads to selfishness and arguments. And everything that's wrong in the world. Sin cuts us off from friendship with God. And we get stuck. We get stuck in behavior patterns and bad relationships. There's nothing we can do. And try as we might, we cannot stop sinning. We are facing disaster. And the penalty of sin is death and being separated from God forever. But Jesus came to save us from our sins. He is a saviour. He was born in a manger, but he grew up. He lived a perfect life. He was the one person who didn't deserve to die and be separated from God. But he loved us so much that he died on the cross for us, for you, for me. He paid that penalty for our sins. He was separated from God the Father as he died on the cross so that we don't have to be. So if we trust in him, we are saved from our sins. If we put our trust in him, we are forgiven and given friendship with God and a future with him forever. Can I have another volunteer to hold something, please? Now, John did some research on strange presents. And he found a couple of things. Can you hold that up in front of you so people can see? It's quite a big thing there. Brilliant. Okay, so this is if you can't see, a motorized rolling pin. An automatic rolling pin. For those of you who can't work out how to work a rolling pin. I've got a PhD in physics. I still can't work how this is of any benefit in any way at all. But there you go. That might be the thing that you needed on your Christmas list. It's not too late. Or can you spin it round? Now these are little umbrellas for your shoes. So if you're someone who has a big shoe collection, maybe particularly nice shoes, I see Heather nodding there, you want to keep them out of the rain, keep them out of the inclement weather, these are little umbrellas. They just keep your shoes nice and... It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's the silliest thing I've ever seen. Thank you very much. You'll put that one down because it's quite difficult to hold. Brilliant. Ridiculous, useless presents. Now, some people, maybe you, may think that Jesus is a bit of a useless gift. They think they don't need him, but he is the one gift we actually all need. He was born in a small and scruffy manger, but he is a saviour, the only saviour from sin. Well, what was this other hat? This is a bit easier. Yes. It's for a king, isn't it? It's a crown. It's for a king. It's for someone who rules. If you've got the verses there in your service sheet in verse 11, the angel said to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And the word Christ or Messiah means God's promised king. So can I have another volunteer to open another box? Come up and open this one. You might have an idea as to what's going to happen. Oh, I love it when it stops. Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a seat. Christ, Jesus is a king. Now, centuries earlier, as we read in our Old Testament, God had promised his people he would send a Christ, a promised king who would rescue them. For years, they'd had bad and foolish kings, and then other nations had come and taken over. And at this time of Jesus coming, the Romans were in charge. But now at last, the Christ, the promised king, had come. And when Jesus grew up, he showed he was a king like no other. So we can have another volunteer to hold a big sign thing. Brilliant. If you can hold that up. Maybe you can see some of the stories there. So this is a story where Jesus is caught in a storm with his disciples. Does anyone remember that story? What does Jesus do? Melody? He calms the storm. He says, "Storm, shut up." And it just goes quiet. Or on this side, can you see someone's really poor? No. Oh, sorry, this side of the picture. Can someone see what's going on there? Someone's poorly. What does Jesus do for poorly people? Someone who's not said anything yet? Wait, I've gone for it. Jesus made them better, didn't he? He showed he had power over nature, power over health, and then you can spin it. Thank you, Oscar. And what is that story? What kind of power does he have there? Katie, you're not saying anything yet. But he died, and he came back to life again. He rose again. Jesus is a king who has even power over death. What an amazing king! Power over nature, power over illness, even power over death. Thank you very much. You can have a seat. That is an amazing sort of king. The angel called him Christ the Lord. The Lord is God's name. And the baby in the manger was God come to be king. One more picture to show you. Okay, if you can hold that one up, who recognises who that might be on the front there? Oh, good, because everyone guessed it earlier. Spoiled my surprise, Elizabeth. How do you know that? It is. Turn it around. It's Queen Elizabeth. She looks a bit more like that now. So she was born and she was a toddler and things like that. And then when she was 25, she became queen. Thank you very much. I'll take that off. They're a bit hard to hold on there. Thank you very much. But Jesus was king right from the day he was born. Who knows how many countries Queen Elizabeth is queen of? I'll list them, not you. I'll list them and you try to count. She's queen of United Kingdom of Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Jamaica, Barbados, the Bahamas, Grenada, Papua New Guinea, the Solomon Islands, Tuvalu, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Belize, Antigua and St. Kitts. How many was that who kept up? Yes? It wasn't 17, that's very close. 22 is a bit far off. 16, very good counting, it was 16. And Queen Elizabeth is queen of 16 countries, that is pretty good. But Jesus is king of the whole world. He is God's king of God's whole universe. And he's right there now, at the right hand of God, ruling in the throne of the universe in heaven. So if you ask people, who is your king? You might get a range of answers. People might say, well, I'm in charge of my life. I'm king of my life. I make my decisions. Others might say, well, it's my boss. That lady, she drives me and tells me what to do. Or that bloke sort of sorts things out for me. Or maybe it's your friends. Or maybe it's your family. You think they might be in charge of my life. But if we're Christian believers, we live with Jesus as our king. We don't always manage to obey him, but we try to live with him in charge. And we find that Jesus is the best king we could possibly have. Life with Jesus in charge is life as it was meant to be. He's King who helps us to be patient, loving, brave, joyful, and hopeful. So yes, Jesus was born in a small, scruffy manger. It wasn't a very impressive present. But he is King, God's King of the whole world. So the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So the question is, what will you do this Christmas with God's gift of Jesus? He was small and scruffy and poor, and he probably smelt. Many people might look at the outside and ignore him. They might say, "Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too important to bother with a present like that." Or they think, "Oh, that was 2,000 years ago. What is it to do with me? How can that help?" But scruffy and poor as he was, God tells us that the baby born in that manger is actually the Savior from sin. So let's put our trust in him. And he is God's King. So let's ask him to be our King. And then you may have noticed just at the end of that reading what the shepherds did. They checked it out and then they were amazed. They went through the whole town going, "You've got to check out this baby. It's an extraordinary thing. You'll never believe it. Come and see." And Mary, what did she do? She pondered these things in her heart. She wants to think more about these truths. What a great example for us this Christmas time. So let's pray that we'll get time for that. Let's close our eyes, put our hands together and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came poor and scruffy and laid in a manger. Help us not to forget you or ignore you, but to trust you as our Savior and serve you as our King. Amen.